Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Mike Golic Jr., and Janae Agumake here, taking over 4 to 7 Eastern here on ESPN Radio.
I'm really looking forward to everyone hearing our intro song. There's a beat drop, and I always pause and hit that beat drop.
Janae Agumake.
The goal is to make sure you are energized on your way home.
And Mike Golic Jr.
Honestly, like, people are going to be doing 100 on the highway.
That feeling is vicious, and it's El Tornado Kid. Janae and Golic Jr.
Better,
ain't
no days off.
To the very last breath.
What if the conversation that we have around the NBA Finals is so steeped in negativity, we're actually missing the real point? What if it's not about what the Bucks are doing wrong, but instead it's about what the Suns are doing right? It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, it doesn't take a brilliant person to realize that this voice is neither Golic Jr. nor Chinay, but I'd like to think that at this point, it's like friend of the show, close friend of the family, right? I'm Jason Fitz. I'll be in. I'm taking over ESPN Radio for the next 5 hours. That's not a misspeak by me for once. I'm actually going to be in the seat. Chinay's going to join us in a little bit on this show. So, yes, Chinay will join me, but then all the way through Spain and Fitz, I'm going to be hanging out for the next 5 hours. If you love, like, a slightly prepubescent voice cracks and mistakes when reading, you're going to get plenty of that. We're going to start with some straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, though, and it comes in the form of the NBA Finals. Now, I blame social media for part of this, to be perfectly clear. At some point, social media has decided everything sucks, and it doesn't matter what it is. Everything's bad, right? Social media has decided that at every possible turn, they're going to point out every flaw they can in individuals, in athletes, in teams, in society, right? When's the last time you went through Twitter for a full day and all you heard was, man, have a great day. Get out there and love somebody. You know what? I am proud of you for doing your best. You don't hear any of that, right? We acknowledge that we as a society have become so used to the conversation that we get around social media, particularly, that at some point that negativity sort of carries over to everything. So it's easy today, coming off the heels of Phoenix winning game 2 last night, something that I predicted on Spain and Fitz. You should listen to that 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, it's easy to look at that and say, oh, the series is over. Oh, Coach Budenholzer can't make any adjustments. Milwaukee can't defend the pick and roll. Whatever it is that the narrative is you want to craft in negativity. But I'm going to do something different. I'm going to tell you about what's going right. Because sometimes, no matter how good you are, you eventually face a juggernaut that has the thing that can't be solved: momentum. And that's what Phoenix has right now. Watch that game last night and watch how they shoot. Like, okay, obviously I'm 5'9 and a quarter, 165 pounds. That's right back down to my fight and weight, right? So obviously, what am I going to tell you about athletic prowess in an NBA game? But we can apply this to everything. If you've ever been in, you know, a gym playing basketball with your buddies, and you've got that guy that eventually starts just making every shot. If you're a gamer and you're playing Madden, like I used to be a very competitive play Madden for money sort of guy, right? And eventually, you'll start playing against somebody that is on a roll. And when they're on a roll and you see, okay, four different guys should have picked that off, you got it. Like, that's just the way the cookie's going to crumble today. Sometimes that's going to happen. And as I watched early on, Milwaukee came in and gave all of the beating that they could. They tried to give all the physicality and urgency that they could. Everything we asked for yesterday, Milwaukee did. And then Phoenix said, so what? Now what? Don't believe me? Monty Williams, Suns head coach, talked at the post-game press conference about their ability to withstand the opening of the game.
The first quarter was a storm of aggression from them, attacking the paint, offensive rebounding, and we talked about it all morning. And so we knew that was coming, and they're a good team. It's not like this is the finals and they're giving a finals effort. But I like the fact that our guys just stayed the course and showed poise. And we were down 3. And then in the second quarter, which I felt like won the game for us, our defense was at a high level. We held those guys to 16 points. And so that ended up being the difference.
Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in. And it's easy to say, oh, well, Milwaukee didn't do this or that. They didn't shoot well. All right, but let's look at the other side. What did Phoenix do? As you just heard Monty Williams talk about, not only did they survive the barrage of the first quarter, oh, man, they then brought it shooting the ball. All right, at some point, when you start talking about their ability, the Suns made 23-pointers. 23-pointers throughout the course of this. At the end of the day, the Suns hit their outside shots. This is from our stats and info group. They scored 84 points off jumpers. That's tied for the most in a playoff game over the last 8 years. 84 points off jumpers. Say what you will. I mean, at some point, when the other team is shooting that way, you just got to take your hat off. And Devin Booker? Oh, Devin Booker? Now, through two games, he scored 58 points. That's the most of any player on the Suns. And he's holding Bucks players of 7 of 29 shooting as the primary defender. That's the lowest field goal percentage allowed by any player on either team. So what do you have? You have a hot Devin Booker last night. Oh my God, it felt like double dribble. He found the cheat code spot where he knew that if he launched it, nobody was going to stop it. I mean, even Suns fans, when you watch the replay and you see home fans that throw their hands in the air with that look, I don't get it either, guys. That's when you know things have just gone the right way. And I'm not saying that in a way that doesn't give Phoenix credit. In fact, it's the opposite. I'm giving Phoenix all the credit. The easy thing to do is turn around and say, oh, what didn't the Bucks do? But that downplays what the Suns have done. Offensively, we are going to talk about the one possession that felt like it had 2,700 passes. Don't Google it. That's not an exact record. I think there were 15 passes on one possession that ended up with one perfect shot. We're going to show that in clinics for basketball for years. That's on Phoenix. That's not on Milwaukee. That's not about anybody doing anything wrong. That's about Phoenix playing like the team that Phoenix has known they are from the get-go. Monica McNutt, our great ESPN NBA analyst and our good friend, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning talking about the Suns and what makes them special.
But what has been so impressive to me is Phoenix's ability to respond every single time. And so they don't allow the Bucks to get any closer. I mean, yesterday going into the pregame show on ESPN Radio, we talked about timely buckets in game one. Because technically, Phoenix didn't shoot the three particularly well in game one, but they hit timely threes. And this game, they shot 50% from three, and they were super on time. So it's a tall task for the Bucks. I will say this. Obviously, they've been here before. Middleton, we know, plays better at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he plays that much better.
We'll get into what Milwaukee can do and how Milwaukee can find a way to get back into the series. Let me say it loud and proud. I don't think this series is anywhere near over. My prediction was that Phoenix would win the first two games. Milwaukee would win the next two. And I got to be honest, I still feel pretty good about that. I'll tell you why in about 15 minutes. But in the meantime, as you look at what we saw, I think for all of the different things that we've talked about, the Suns have passed the ball 80 more times in the series than the Bucks so far. They were 6 of 8 last night on possessions with 5 or more passes. Think about that. They were playing keep away. They were absolutely the big brothers, and they were playing keep away through all of it. And there was every opportunity for Phoenix to shrink when Milwaukee came out so aggressive. There was every opportunity for Phoenix to take the hit and not bounce back. They didn't do that. And while sometimes it's okay to look at the team that lost and say, hey, this is what you lack, in this particular instance, it wasn't that Milwaukee didn't try every trick in their bag. The problem is, everything that they did, Phoenix was ready for. And every punch that they gave, Phoenix came back stronger from. And realistically, when that happens, all you can hope for is to live to see another day and hope that in the next game, you can find the cheat code. Because right now, this series is being dominated by, frankly, flat out, the better team. That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So the question is, not just for right now, but for the long term, have the Suns cracked a code that could lead to something truly sustainable for greatness? We'll get that answer from an expert next. Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and of course, ESPN Plus, represented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Of course, this is neither Chiné or Golic Jr.'s voice. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for the gang. Chiney will join me in a little bit for part of the show, but until then, it's just the Jason Fitz Show. Thank you very much. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We've been talking a little bit about the NBA Finals and, frankly, everything that the Suns have done right. Now, in a few minutes, I'll tell you why. Not only do I think that this series isn't over, I think I think Milwaukee's going to win the next game. Before we get to any of that, though, we want to get some more expertise on all things great from the Suns so far. So to do that, we hop over to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by Eddie Johnson, former NBA player, Suns TV analyst. Eddie, I really appreciate your time on what I'm sure is a busy day, man. So with all of the eyeballs on adjustments, what did you see Phoenix do as far as adjustments that helped them be so good in Game 2?
Yeah, it's more so how they prepared. They knew the adjustment was going to have to be made. They understood Milwaukee had complained about a few things. One, not getting to the free throw line. So the Suns knew that they were going to come out very aggressive to try to force the issue. They really got torn apart by how they handled the two-man game. And so the Suns knew they'd come out and they'd be very aggressive. Jrue Holiday would be very aggressive with Chris Paul. They try to get the ball out of his hands. They cut off his angles. And look, in the first quarter, they had success. But the Suns aren't going to change because they believe over 48 minutes that they'll still get to whatever they need and you won't be able to do it for 48 minutes. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. The Suns stuck with it. They moved the ball well. They got the ball to the weak side when they did try to be aggressive on that strong side. Mikal Bridges was over there, and he wound up with 27 points. I mean, that's been the beauty of this team all year, is that you think you can take stuff away from them, but they don't realize that it's guys over there that, if given the opportunity, can get you 20 as well, and that's what we saw last night.
So put a Milwaukee hat on here, Eddie. If you're the Bucks and you're looking at it saying, man, we thought we had the right game plan. I mean, when the Suns are shooting as well as they were shooting last night, what could Milwaukee actually do differently?
Make buckets. They're not going to beat the Suns if they only got two or three guys, or maybe even four guys in double figures. They're not going to beat them because the Suns are going to give you close to five or six guys. And that's the difference. And that's why they had the second best record this year. That's why they were the best team in the league on the road. The interconference play in the West, they had the best record, which in my mind means they were the best team, even though Utah beat them by one game. But they beat Utah in the season series. So what they're doing shouldn't surprise a lot of – I know it's surprising people, but it shouldn't. I mean, they've been doing this at a high level all year. And you take one person away, the other guy will step up, i.e. Chris Paul. Think about it. Devin Booker is the top scorer on his team. Teams concentrated on taking the ball out of his hands and being difficult on him. And then Chris Paul jumps up and drops 37, 40 on you. And that's just the beauty of this team, and that's why they've been so consistent.
We're talking to Eddie Johnson, former NBA player, Suns TV analyst. You can hear Eddie weekday afternoons all year long on the only place on radio for 24/7 coverage of the NBA, Sirius XM NBA Radio. So when you talk about this team and how well prepared they seem to be for everything, what's Monty Williams done to really get the pulse of this team so incredibly tight this year?
Well, one, just get them to believe in what he's trying to get them to do. I mean, you know, a coach's job can be real easy if the players buy in to his philosophy. Now, that's the hard part. The hard part as a coach is to sell your philosophy, to get them to really believe it, even in the tough times when things aren't going well. Get them to believe in it. A good example last night, I don't know if you saw it, but during the course of the game, during a timeout, Monty Williams was motivating DeAndre Ayton, who would look probably down and disappointed because he didn't think he was playing well, but he wasn't getting touches either like he did in game one. And Monty broke it down to him. So you got impact in every area of this game. You know, you just have to continue it. It's that kind of talking, that kind of motivation that pushes guys to a high level. And so Monty has been tremendous for this team, the perfect coach for them, and the perfect combination he and Chris Paul have been all year.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that moment. He kept saying impact the game with force, which is so interesting to me because we've seen that from Ayton throughout the course of the playoffs. It's just a different determination and will on the way that he seems to be approaching every game. Has this changed the way DeAndre Ayton, you think, is viewed as a player for the next several years? Is this a new chapter for him in development?
Well, he's 22 years old, and, you know, he's the number one pick, and I know people had high expectations, especially when they're watching Luka do what he's been doing statistically. But I've said all along, I mean, yeah, Luka might win the race in the statistics, but what about the race to be on a winner? What about the race to, like, dominate and be impactful in regards to a team that has a chance to win a title? That should be what you play for, because if you play long enough in this league, you're going to get paid. I mean, you're going to get rewarded. So is the race you're in to be statistically better than the next guy or to win? And I think DeAndre's starting to understand that. And to me, you know, if you look back now and you say, would the Suns trade DeAndre Ayton for Luka? No. Would the Hawks trade Trae Young for Luka? I think they'd hesitate. And those are the two guys that really have been taking a beating in that regard, that those teams did not draft Luka Doncic. And right now, DeAndre Ayton is sitting at the top.
We're talking to Eddie Johnson, former NBA player, Suns TV analyst. And, you know, I think it's interesting, Eddie, the more times I've talked to Monica McNutt, one of our ESPN NBA analysts lately, she keeps saying, hey, we got to change our conversation a little bit. We're talking about the superstars with the superstars we're used to, but there are new superstars that are growing, and that's what we've seen this postseason when you talk about Ayton and Booker. In your mind, is this a sustainable group of guys that can turn the page for Phoenix to be viewed differently for the next several years?
Well, without a doubt. Obviously, next year will be tougher, as the following year after getting to the finals always is. But these guys are built to last. I mean, Devin Booker is an old soul, man. He is as dedicated and confident and focused as any player you're ever going to meet. And DeAndre Ayton has gotten to that point now. Took him a while. Most big guys take a while. But, you know, I think he's there. He's enjoying this attention. He's enjoying the idea of winning and him having an impact all over the floor. This team is going to be around a while. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Payne. They got young guys that are impactful. Chris Paul's got 3-4 years left in him. So without a doubt, if this team still stays together and the additions that they're going to make, obviously, to add to it, oh, this team is going to be right there.
You can follow him on Twitter at JumpShot8, and then you can hear him all year long on the only place on radio for 24/7 coverage of the NBA, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Eddie Johnson. Eddie, appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the finals.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, so with all of that positivity for Phoenix, the question is, what's it mean for Milwaukee? Well, next up, I'll tell you why I think the Bucks are going to win the next game in Milwaukee. We'll get to that next on Chiney and Golic Jr., Jason Fitz filling in. But first, the good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers 4 times more hires. That's right, 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. For your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. That's where you find your next great hire, Indeed.com/credit. Why the Bucks are going to win the next game, we'll tell you. Chiney and Golic Jr., Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Chiney and Golic Jr. Chiney will join me in a little bit. We'll hang out together for the rest of the show. And also, don't forget to check out Spain and Fitz tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, which is just Fitz. It's the Jason Fitz takeover for the next several hours on ESPN Radio. I'm going to tell you in a minute why I think all hope is not lost. And in fact, I'm confident that the Bucks can win Game 3 back in Milwaukee. But before we do that, we got to get to a little bit of Major League Baseball. It's time for the Progressive MLB Snapshot. And that comes in the form of everybody now is going to be talking about sticky substances and what it means for pitchers. Well, Pete Alonso, Mets first baseman, was on Bart and Han with Chris Carlin and Bart Scott and was asked about what should happen when it comes to what baseball should be doing right now to help in this process.
So, Pete, you want consistency with the baseball. Do you think that Major League Baseball also should come up with an approved substance that pitchers can be allowed to use so they don't have to make up their own concoction?
Yeah, exactly. Like for me, I said this before, like I don't care if somebody uses a little bit of pine tar, because for me, I have batting gloves, I have pine tar, I have rosin, I have like the tape spray, I have pretty much, I have a pine tar stick and a pine tar rack. Like I have everything basically in my favor to hold on to the bat. I also have like lizard skins if I need it, which is like almost like a tennis grip, so I can hold on to the bat and it's for safety. If I helicopter a bat in the stands, that's, or if I helicopter a bat like in the field of play or something, that's not safe.
And that, by the way, all comes down to the problem when you act so quickly and rashly as Major League Baseball did. If they had taken the time to really think this through, and that does come to the point of like waiting through the offseason, talking to everybody, figuring out what works. I talked to my buddy JP Aaron Sibbia on Spain and Fitz a few weeks ago, and he mentioned the fact that, you know, as a catcher, when he was in the bigs, he had a little bit of sticky substance on his leg that he could then use so that he could grip the ball if somebody was trying to steal. I mean, we're at a spot where so many different players, not just pitchers, so many players are using it. Standardization and coming up with one substance on their own would allow Major League Baseball to control the variable that is creating so much frustration right now. Seems simple. That was brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz sitting in for them. And look, it's easy right now to say all hope is lost. The Suns are going to sweep the Bucks. I'm not buying it. A, this is a Bucks team that's trailed in every playoff series so far. B, more importantly, this is a Bucks team that has been incredibly streaky. And what have we seen so far through the playoffs? Through the finals, I should say. We have seen absolute horrid shooting from guys like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Now, as the Bucks go, these two players go. We look at Giannis as such a focus, but realistically, when the Bucks have been dominant, it's been because Chris Middleton has taken over, to the point that not that long ago, the conversation on ESPN Radio was, is Giannis a better Robin than a Batman? Because Chris Middleton, when he's great, can be that. And we just forget that that's the other element in all of this. But going home is bound to help the shooting. In game two, Drew Holiday missed 10 of his 15 shots in the paint. That's right. He missed 10 out of 15 shots in the paint. That's the third worst field goal percentage in the paint in a finals game over the last 25 years. I've got to believe that that's going to get better. In fact, Mike Budenholzer, Bucks head coach, talked about the looks that they've been missing in a post-game press conference.
You know, you always give credit to the defense. You know, those guys, do a good job. And there's probably a few looks that... You know, I think that they got to go in. You know, when you're playing against a good defensive team, you get a good, clean one. Drew was getting to the paint a lot. I liked his aggressiveness. So, you know, I think we need all three of those guys. And, you know, I think they just keep working. They'll come good.
My buddy Harry Douglas always oversimplifies these things on Twitter when he says, hey, the team that scores the most points is going to win. But what we saw in game two was one team could shoot and the other couldn't, right? I mean, we saw the Suns absolutely make everything while we saw the Bucks just as cold as ice at times for the second straight game. But that's also not something new. I mean, when you talk about Middleton and Holiday, they've gotten cold over the course of every series. It writes itself. At some point, it writes itself. Now, Phoenix is better than Atlanta. Phoenix is better than a depleted Brooklyn team at this point, right? Phoenix deserves way more credit. And if you're just tuning in, before you yell at me on Twitter, at Jason Fitz, feel free to give me a follow and spread some positivity. Before you yell at me, go back and check out the beginning of the show where I said this is about Phoenix and everything they're doing well. But we can also look at it and acknowledge the thing that the Bucks have been absolutely plagued by is fixable. Getting home. It feels like, to oversimplify for Milwaukee fans, you've heard it before. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Well, you've got the next two games in Milwaukee with rims that you're used to, with some sort of level of home cooking that you think you're going to be able to draw up when it comes to playing back in Milwaukee, man, that is enough, in my mind, to save Milwaukee in this series. And once they win game three, all bets will be off on where we're headed from there. It's Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We'll get back to the NBA Finals. And in fact, Chené's going to join us in just a little bit. But coming up next, we talk to Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar, about something awesome he's been up to. We'll do it next. Chené and Golic Jr., Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Radio.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz filling in for Chené and Golic Jr. Also, don't forget, when you're done hanging out with me here, hang out with Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I got you covered everywhere you need to be. We're brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud sponsor of the 2021 ESPY Sports Humanitarian Award. Now, if you've listened to me at all, you know how many times I bring in 80s wrestling into my analogies. It's a big part of my childhood. It's a big part of my life growing up. In fact, I'm going through a new workout cycle, and as I go through the workouts, I've decided to go back, you know, to the 80s and relive WrestleMania, followed by SummerSlam, followed by Royal Rumble every year from 87 until current. So I'm like an 89 right now. It's a great way to sort of keep my mind distracted while I'm working out. You know my love for it. So I'm particularly excited for this because we are headed over to the Goodyear Hotline where we are joined by Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar and Hall of Famer. Titus, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to read this and, you know, I'm going to read it because I think people need to hear it. A lot of times, people don't understand the good that athletes and entertainers do. Well, I'm going to give Titus a little love here because, as has been pointed out to us during COVID-19, Titus delivered hundreds of healthy food boxes to assist families, veterans, and senior citizens, surprised five families in need with a new car, provided leadership to create food baskets and secure toys for more than 40,000 families during the holiday season, and in 2020 organized a multicultural love walk in Tampa to unite the community. Titus, you are doing great things in the world. Why does it matter so much to you to do that?
It matters so much in the world for me to do it is because I'm the recipient of that good love and good energy myself. As a product of a sexual assault, my mother being raped at 11, having me at 12 years old, I was labeled a kid that would be dead or in jail by the time I was 16, and I believed that for a greater amount of my young adult life, and got a chance to go to a place called the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch in a very small town in North Florida called Live Oak. And it was there that my life was changed forever. More specifically, it was a conversation I had that, you know, I was told that there's no such thing as a bad kid and that, you know, that person loved me and that they believed in me. And a lot of people had told me that they loved me, but then turn around and abuse me, beat me, curse me, etc. But nobody ever said that they believed that I can do anything. And but because of the love and the support that that organization had for me, you know, I became the first high school graduate in my family. I became the first college graduate playing football at the University of Florida on scholarship. And, you know, obviously now being a WWE Global Ambassador and essentially a Hall of Famer as the 2020 Warrior Award recipient and very, very fortunate to be in the same name and breath as Muhammad Ali, who is definitely my highest childhood hero.
So, Titus, for people that are trying to figure out how to get involved to help the world, it's small steps for so many people. What would your advice be for someone as their first step?
First step, I would just say find something that, you know, that you're passionate about. And if you don't know your passion, find something that resonated with you in a younger age. You know, there might have been a coach that got you to a certain point, or a teacher, or a law enforcement officer, or an aunt or uncle that served in the military. I mean, there are various ways to, there are various forms of inspiration right around all of us. We just have to be open, both spiritually and mentally, to say, you know what, I want to do something. I don't know what it is that I want to do, but I want to do something to help change somebody's life. And when you take that initiative to do so, you'll find that you might end up changing thousands and thousands of people's lives, because it only takes one. It only took one person to tell me at 12 years old that, you know, that they loved me and that they believed in me and that there was no such thing as a bad kid and I was going to be a great person and contribute so much to society. And I've been able to help thousands and thousands of people because of that and generate millions in fundraising. And that all happened because one person believed in me. So if you can be that one person, that can help change somebody's life, then go out and do that. And it doesn't matter what color you are, how old you are, how young you are. I think everybody in this world that's walking and has breath, regardless of disability, race, creed, background, has the ability to put smiles on people's faces, as we say in WWE, and create transformational change for others.
We're talking to Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in on Shanae and Golick Jr. So, Titus, I went to a Raw taping several years ago, and I hadn't been in a while. And I was really amazed after the show was over, the wrestlers came back out. For anyone that doesn't know, they came back out and did sort of a dark match and then saw wrestlers just go up to all the kids and sort of just be there for them and be impactful for them. It sort of hit me that there's a massive misconception, I think, about wrestlers and the wrestling community at times. So how important in your eyes for the people you see backstage is community involvement for all of the wrestling community?
Like you say, we were at a point where we were always fighting an uphill battle because of stereotypes. And maybe in the 80s and in the early 90s, those stereotypes may have rang true. But as time has evolved, the business has evolved, and our athletes have evolved. We're all human beings with great stories individually, and we tell stories on television and in live events on a consistent basis. And all of us at one point needed some type of inspiration and wanted somebody to be a hero. And now we're all fortunate enough to have that opportunity to be a hero to someone else. So you'll see all the time, and especially now that we're getting ready to go back to live fans starting next week, to have that fan interaction is very big to us because it keeps us rooted in why we do what we do. And not only why we do what we do, but the blessing that it is to be able to have somebody look at you, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, and say, "Man, I want to go see that person, perform." And as an athlete or an entertainer, that's what you want. You want people to be inspired by you. You want people to be entertained by you. And fortunately for us, we have a very huge fan base and following that allows us to do that in multiple countries, about 160 to 170 countries weekly on television. And love, I said, always is the universal language. And whether you can speak the same dialect or not, respect and love are two things that, I think every culture has in their DNA. And fortunately for us, those two things are at the head of our agenda when we are in a WWE locker room. Respect every opponent, respect every fan, and love and appreciate those that you come in contact with.
Titus, I love the A&E show right now where the classic wrestlers are going back and finding old stuff that they haven't seen for a long time. Do you have any old gear that you wish you still had that, somehow, some way along the way you lost?
No, I actually have held on to pretty much everything that I've had made or received. I did have in my possession as a kid, I had a Junkyard Dog action figure. And I wish that I still had that because Junkyard Dog was like my favorite, growing up. And, for multiple reasons, one, he was a very lovable and charismatic character, but back in those times also too, there weren't many African Americans on television, that were not playing a bad guy, And, when I saw Junkyard Dog get beat, win a match and then get beat up by a bunch of white performers in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the people in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which, as Lily White, they booed those guys out of the arena. And I said, if I ever had the opportunity to make some change and make people love me the way that Junkyard Dog was loved, I'll be all right. And so, fortunately, the saying still rings true that, you can grow up to be one of your heroes.
Well, Titus, I'm pretty sure I got one of those massive WWF at the time Junkyard Dog toys. So I'll get it. I'll give you mine. You just get me into SummerSlam. It feels like a good opportunity here, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate you hanging out.
That's an easy, even trade for me, brother. Even trade.
All day, every day, dude. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for doing great work. Thanks for making an impact to the world. I really appreciate your time, and congratulations on the recognition you're getting. It's really deserved.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, man. Have an awesome weekend, and love on your family.
Absolutely. That's Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar, the 7th Annual Sports Humanitarian Awards. It's a celebration of the impact made by athletes, teams, and sports industry professionals who are using sports to make a difference in their communities and throughout the world. This year, the awards will take place on Monday, July 12th at the rooftop at Pier 17, located within the Seaport in New York City, with a 90-minute TV special airing Saturday, July 24th at 2 p.m. Eastern on ABC. I would implore you of this. If you're somebody that constantly says athletes only talk and don't do, watch this, because I think you'll be stunned at how many athletes are out there without getting the credit they deserve for it, how many athletes and entertainers are out there working their tails off to better the world. It's happening every single day. And if you really want to know the answer to what they're doing, start searching for it. This is a great way to check it out. Titus doing some great things. Coming up, they're down 0-2, but what's the level of concern for the Bucks? We'll answer that question next. Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Plus also.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.